it's funny, I have been coming here a long time, and I started coming at a rally in 94, carrying a big old wooden cross up and down Main Street, and did that for 28 years. And in those last 12 years that I was here, I had trained up a lot of the Hellfighters with a bunch of my crosses and taking people out in the streets, and they've continued. I left them three of my crosses when I stepped down from being the rally chaplain with the PD in 2020 after serving 15 years with the police department. And what's so cool is Jody Van de Water called me the other day, or texted me the other day and said, "Hey, I see you're coming to town, let's grab lunch." So we did. And then there's a couple other cops that are in town that I just really wanted to connect with, and I thought I wouldn't have time. Last night after coming back to town from Deadwood, we stopped at the Sun-X for gas, to gas up our bike, so we wouldn't have to do it today. And comes one of the cops I want to see, and another one right behind him, you know. So got a chance just to love on some of my guys. They still call me chaplain, you know. And I see them when I bring them down to Texas. I host law enforcement hunting retreats and things. But I know there's some faces in here that I don't recognize, so I'll give you a quick minute of who I am, what I do. Since 1993, I've walked with a big wooden cross all over the North American continent. That includes all 50 states in the U.S., all over Canada, Mexico, a little bit into Central America, just sharing the love of Jesus with people. When I got saved, it was June 19th, 1987, so this Wednesday or Thursday, whenever, coming up here quick, Wednesday I think it is, 37 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship dinner, and 31 years ago, I went full-time into the ministry, and I've been serving them full-time since. Those of you, some of you know, because I've talked with many of you, and some of you follow me on Facebook. But in August of 2021, the year after I stopped doing the rally, and then I praise God that I was at home at the time, I had gotten diagnosed with leukemia. And I went from 184 pounds to 123 pounds. Skin and bones, ended up in our best Trauma One hospital in San Antonio, University Hospital. And over the next 4.5 months, I had 14 blood transfusions, a bunch of chemo. You know, but I'm strong again today. I'm 50 pounds heavier than the world. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. He's faithful to his word. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap. He deserves it. I thank him every day. I my outlook on life, I already thought I had a great outlook on life, but when you know that you're there in the hospital and you're skin and bones and you're so weak and the doctors are shaking their heads because they didn't even know how I walked in there under my own power, and the cancer cell ratio showed in my bone marrow, the blood that was being produced was 88.772% cancer, so 89% cancer to 11% good cells, and today the cancer cells are down around 3%, you know, zero being remission. But I'll tell you what, every 6 weeks I get my blood labs done, and my CBC, where they check all your stuff in your blood, you know, comes out like everything's perfect, you know. So I know God's healed me even before I was diagnosed. I didn't know what was going on. But I learned a valuable lesson through all that. We all go through stuff. I already knew that. Saved or unsaved, you go through stuff. But I always thought, why would I go to man for an answer for health when I've laid these hands on people and seen them delivered from cancer and other things and seen them totally healed? Why would I expect to go to a doctor, you know, when I've got Dr. Rapha, you know, Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee? But I learned a valuable lesson that God uses people. He's given such wisdom to those in the medical field. I'm absolutely, totally in love. My wife knows this. I'm in love with my oncologist. She's the smartest lady I've ever met. She knows everything about the blood. She pulled no punches when she told me what I was going to be going through when they did the first bone marrow biopsy and started me on chemo and everything else. She says, look, this is what you're going to go through. And she told me all the bad stuff, and it wound up going through all of that. But I knew I was going to go through it and not stay there, you know, because God's word says, by his stripes I'm healed. And I knew that I knew that I knew I was going to, especially when I end up, you know, God's got me going down a path this morning. I just got to let you know that's not in my notes. So, you know, it's for more than one person in here. I know that for a fact. But when I'm in the hospital, just it was during COVID. And so Corey, my wife, could not even come into the hospital with me. And yet here I am with a white blood cell count of 245,000, which is astronomical. And they rush you right into a room, even though they say they have no rooms. And the input nurse, when she starts going through all the questions, one question she asked me was, are you of any particular faith? Says, yes, man, I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, tongue-talking, spirit-filled, you know, and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Let me ask you the same question. Are you of any particular faith? She said, no, I'm not. I says, well, what's keeping you from surrendering your life to Jesus? He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead, and he loves you very much. Would you like to receive him right now? She said, yes, I would, and I led her through the sinner's prayer. So that's when I said, okay, Lord. You're in this. I'm going through the storm right now, but I know you're in the boat with me, so I'm not going to be too concerned about it. And so that's what started that, you know. And since then, I've held healing services, and I know that people are going to be healed when I pray for them. And I just love the fact that he gives me those opportunities. And so, it's just been awesome. So my wife, Corey, and I, we're going to be grandparents for the first time. Woohoo! July 20th, our daughter-in-law is due. And so I'll be home by about July 18th. You know, it's just the most amazing thing. My son married his childhood sweetheart 5 years ago. They both went off to college in two different areas. My son went to Northern California, and my daughter went to Huntsville, Texas, which is eastern Texas. They were 2,300 miles apart. But, you know, they knew when they were done with school that they'd get married. And they got married 5 years ago, last May 16th. And I couldn't be any prouder of my kids, you know. Since I stepped down from doing that actually happened before I stepped down from being the rally chaplain here. I wound up joining our local volunteer fire department 5 years ago. Actually, November 2nd will be 5 years. And within 6 months, the EMS administrator came to me, said, Bob, you'd make an excellent medic. How would you like to go to EMT school? We'll pay for it. And I thought, you know, that'd be a neat way to serve the community. And that's the reason I became a volunteer fireman, on top of all my ministry stuff. I'm still doing outreach for college spring break, still holding pastors' conferences, evangelism conferences, law enforcement hunting retreats. I'm still going out there with the cross when things happen and whatnot. But I thought to myself, an EMT, I've never taken a class in my life, even in college, I think, that ended in ology, like cardiology, pharmacology. And I thought, man, at 55 years old, I'm going to go become an EMT. I thought, yeah, I didn't really want to tell her no. I told her the canned Christian answer. I'll pray about it. And I went home to talk to Corey, and I thought for sure Corey would say, you've got all this other stuff going on. You don't have time to do this. But Corey, as soon as I told her, I was asked to be an EMT. I said, what do you think? She goes, oh, I think that's awesome. You should do it. So, okay. So I went through all the training. And now that was before I was diagnosed with leukemia. So I'm going through there. I look at my pictures during my EMS classes and stuff. Man, I look like a shriveled up old man. In fact, seriously, skin and bones and all anemic and whatnot. It looked like people that see that picture, and Donnie will attest to this, because even in my travels, just the last few days, I could come across someone. Last night, I showed someone a picture. I go, here's a picture of my phone. I show them the picture of what I looked like when I was diagnosed with leukemia. And they go, they all gasp. For some reason, they all gasp. And then they mention something about Nazi Germany. You know, it's just, seriously, because that's how bad I look. John's seen pictures. You know, but here I am, 50 pounds heavier, strong as ever. I'll take any one of you on in an arm wrestling match when we're done. So, you know, God has been faithful to me, and he's faithful to his word. You got to know what his word says. But Corey's doing fantastic. She's been working with youth for like 30 years, you know. Even when we were traveling, whenever we'd be home in Utopia, Texas, you know, she'd jump right back into teaching Sunday school to the kids and get involved with VBS every year and running the nurseries and stuff. And she's still doing a lot of that stuff, but she also took on the responsibility of a bed and breakfast that she's a manager of down there. And she loves being home. You know, 2010 was the last year you saw my motorhome parked behind the church, you know, because that's the last year we traveled together. As soon as we bought the house in Utopia, Timothy actually put it best. He says, Dad, do we have to go with you this next summer? It's like, no, you guys can stay home. Now, Timothy, he's a project manager for a construction company. He's been working for the same construction company since he was in high school. He'd help out in the summers, and then when he's home on college break, you know, he'd be working. And then right after he graduated college, which was 6 years ago, he wound up becoming the project manager for this construction company. He knows his stuff. It's awesome. They build real nice homes. But he also joined their volunteer fire department, and they're the next town over. Now, they do not have an EMS service, so we actually cover our primary service area, includes all of their area. So there's nothing more rewarding than me showing up on a major vehicle crash or a house fire or whatever, and as I go busting through the door with an air tank or something or getting out the extraction equipment, here's my son next to me, you know, working as well, or I'm on a medical call and I see my daughter-in-law landing the helicopter in a nearby field and my son doing traffic out front or something. You know, we serve together, and it's just an amazing, amazing thing. So God's kind of change of focus of me crisscrossing, you know, walking 24,000 miles with a cross. I've trained up enough people to take over in that. I still like doing the cross on spring break every year. Even when I was diagnosed with leukemia, 8 months later or whatever, when March rolled around that following year, I just took a smaller cross because I was still on the mend, but I never missed a spring break. And I'll tell you what, the last 3 years of college spring break with me down at the Gulf Coast has been absolutely fantastic. I used to see maybe 50, 60, 70 kids over the whole duration of spring break getting saved. I'm here to tell you, our youth are getting on fire for Jesus. The high school kids and college kids, the last 3 years, I've seen over 400 every year get born again, me praying with them one-on-one. This last year was just over 500 this last March, you know, getting saved. And when I travel, I find in these college kids who are questioning what's their purpose, you know, and when you start sharing the gospel with them, they're getting a hold of it. And so be encouraged. There's a lot of young people that are really getting hold of the Word of God, no matter how they see all the crazy that we see on the news that we don't. It's like there's certain people that come on the news. I don't care what they have to say. I'm clicking it off. I'll pray for them, but I don't have to listen to them. And that's, you know, we did enough said with that. But the kids are today, they see that crazy, most of them. And so, you know, best thing I ever did is I think it's turned off the news. I haven't been watching much of it lately, being on the road, and I'm actually pretty peaceful about it. Let's see. I want to share a couple more things before I get into the message. And if you, I don't know, you guys put up the scriptures during service. Is someone doing that? Okay. Well, you guys, while I share a few stories, you can go make your way leisurely over to Mark chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today. But my buddy Donnie and I, we're heading up to Alaska today, right after lunch. And the last time I was in Alaska was 28 years ago when I was carrying the cross. And I carried the cross in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Skagway, Homer, Valdez, Wasilla, a few other places. And besides Whitehorse, Yukon, Haines Junction, Yukon, Calgary, Edmonton, different places and stuff. This time we're going up on the motorcycle. And it's going to be a quick trip, but it's going to be a neat adventure. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more exciting. That my buddy Donnie and I were talking about this morning. It's like just the excitement of like today's the day we're heading out, you know. And it's that adventure, you know. I remember when Timothy was little, our son, we would listen to audio books even then. Wild at Heart, you know, is a great, great book for young boys, you know, to really stir up that adventure spirit in them. But it's ministered to me as well. I will be posting stuff on Facebook. If you're not a friend on Facebook, send me a friend's request, Bob Hannes, Crosswalker. Yeah, I'll be the only one standing there with a cross probably. So, but anyway, I'm putting a little reels, little videos together of this trip that we're going on. So if you want to watch, I don't do the hard newsletters anymore. It's been over 2 years since I put out an old-fashioned newsletter. They take up so much time. And ink prices, I don't know how many of you have bought ink lately. But when I go for just a 3-pack of ink and it costs me over $100 and I have to go through many packs just for one newsletter, it's like, nah, everyone's on social media, seems like, anyway, these days. Still doing lots and lots of outreaches, like I said, with the cross. Been doing the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, Farm Tech Days, county fairs. Just that last Wednesday, I was at the state FFA convention in Madison, Wisconsin, for the Wisconsin Future Farmer of America. There's over 3,000 high school kids. Hundreds of them got saved. In this simple gospel message, we were giving out these little rubber bracelets with the salvation colors on them. You know, kind of like what Spurgeon started with, three colors, how many years ago. But, you know, we do gold for Streets of Gold, and black is sin, and red is the blood of Jesus, white's purity after you've been forgiven, and green is growth. And just go through the simple little gospel message. They come because they want that free bracelet. It's like, okay, but I got to tell you what the colors mean. And then as soon as you get done, tell them what it means. Now you could receive Jesus. Would you like to do that? Let's pray right now. And all these kids are praying for salvation, and then you encourage them, you know, and it's pretty cool. So no, we're still doing lots of outreaches, and I'll never stop doing it as long as I got breath in these lungs. let's see. Oh, on spring break, I was going to go and give you a couple quick stories on spring break. So this particular spring break, just this last March, this lady comes up to me with her husband, and she's got tears in her eyes. And when she caught her composure, she says, "Hey, you don't remember me, but 2 years ago in 2022, I was down here with a bunch of friends, and you prayed for us and led us through the sinner's prayer, and I got born again. I went straight home, told my husband, you need to be in church with me." And she dragged him to church, and then he got saved. And he's a full-time firefighter in Bastrop, Texas, and they were both came up to thank me, you know. And another young man came up to me this year. He's like, "Yeah, you prayed with me last year, and now I'm working with Young Life, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior," and just real bold in his witness, you know. And I just thank God that, because I don't always see the people come back and thank me, you know. But when they do, it's just so precious to me. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, another young man was last year spring break. Comes up to me, and he had read my pamphlet, my testimony. Testimony that says I never wanted to be a cocaine addict, because I was before I got saved. And he read my story and came back up to me to talk to me about it. And he says, "This is where I'm at. I'm addicted to cocaine." I says, "Well, you don't have to be. Let's take care of this. You first need to get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit." And then I prayed over him, and he came back. He says, "You prayed with me 3 years ago," and he had dropped out of college, same as my story, because of the drugs. And he says, "I went back to school, and I just graduated. I got a good job started. I've been clean since you prayed over me 3 years ago." And, you know, so, I mean, when they come back and let you know. So, you know, the gospel is such a simple message, but, man, it's powerful. Jesus already paid the price. Yeah, I did a couple hospital visits last week. One young man, he's in his 20s, had a stroke, actually. And his mom called a friend of mine to let him know. I said, "Well, let's go to the hospital and pray for him." So we went over there walked in. Of course, the receiving nurse or whatever, you know, "Are you family?" You know, I always just play the chaplain card. I says, "I'm the family chaplain." They asked me to come in. "Oh, yeah, come on." Yeah, it works. And so we get in the room with the mom, and so we pray over the young man. And I heard that mom was born again. But I look at this young man in his 20s. I says, "Are you born again?" He says, "No." I said, "Well, let's take care of that matter now." Well, he got born again, and we prayed over him. And he was released that day. They did CAT scans and stuff on him. Anyway, he's going to be just fine. Timothy, Andrea, and I, and Corey, someone blessed us with some money to they said, "Here, go do something special as a family." And so we decided to go to Waco, Texas, because my wife wanted to go to Magnolia Farms. Some of you are shaking your heads. You know what that is, you know? It's like HGTV. There's some people on there that, anyway, it's like, okay, whatever. But it was a family outing. So I got us a two-bedroom suite at some hotel near there, and we went and enjoyed our weekend. Well, the first day, I noticed that a couple blocks from this Magnolia Farms is a bunch of homeless people hanging out by the railroad tracks. And so I told my son and wife and daughter-in-law the next day, because they wanted to go have lunch at In-N-Out Burger, because Texas finally has one now in Waco. And maybe they got a few more. Marty, you like those? And so so we go and have lunch. And so I just went up to the counter and ordered. I just felt to order seven of them. So I said, "Give me seven meals in separate bags." And then we went down there, and Corey says, "Why seven?" I said, "Because that's what God told me." So we get down there where the homeless are, and there were seven of them. So as soon as one guy saw me step out of my car with seven, with those bags of In-N-Out, he goes, "Is that In-N-Out Burgers?" I said, "Yeah, and they're for you." And so I called them all over, and I said, "Well, we're going to bless the food." And then I shared a quick testimony, and none of them had been born again yet. Well, they all got born again that day. So, ministering to people where they're at. I might do some more stories later. I'll just give you one more. Yesterday we were at Black Hills Harley-Davidson. And Donnie had to just have a few little things checked on his bike, but man, it was taking forever. We're thinking, all they're doing is checking fluids and air pressure, you know, on his bike. And here it is, an hour and a half later, whatever, we're still sitting there. It was for one person, you know. So I got to talking to this one guy, young man, and I asked him flat out after visiting with him, "But are you born again?" He said, "No." And I said, "Well, today's your day." And laid out the gospel message. He responded. He prayed for the sinner's prayer. And, you know, we got a chance to encourage him, you know. And he's a really neat young man who had actually served our country. But on five tours, they say, Donnie? five tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so, so that's just pretty cool, just day by day. So on this Alaska trip, we're going to see how many people God puts in my path. But Mark chapter 4, that's where we're going this morning. We'll start in verse 35. So let me just go ahead and just take a moment of prayer here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I just convey exactly what you, Holy Spirit, would want me to speak through this passage of Scripture. I thank you that we all have ears to hear in this place, Lord, and I thank you for your truth being revealed. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Mark chapter 4, this is a passage of story that not only Mark, but Luke and Matthew all record the same story. And it says here in verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, referring to Jesus and his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And there was a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the seas obey him?" Look at verse 35 here. It says, Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side." Jesus already told them, "We're going across the way, guys." When Jesus tells you you're going somewhere, guess what? You're going somewhere. You know, it's not like Jesus wasn't freaking out about any circumstance along the way. He says, "We're going to the other side." They should have had complete peace. It's just like when God shows me in his word about healing. You know, all the healing scriptures. Okay, that's what your word says. I believe it. You got to have that childlike faith. When you're 5 years old and you say, "I can speak to God, God hears me," whatever, it's the same type of deal. You know, God says it in his word. He's speaking right to you. If he's, it's like the bumper sticker. "God said it, I believe it." But I always like the one that says, "Whether you believe it or not, God said it, he can believe it." Something like that. You know, it's God's word. But then again, verse 48 or 38, when Jesus was asleep on pillow, they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus didn't tell them they were perishing, yet they're worried about, you know, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" I'm going to come back to circle around to that in a second. But Jesus asked them two questions. First question, why are you so fearful? Second question, how is it that you have no faith? You know, Satan wants you walking in fear. God wants you walking in faith. The devil will always have you look at circumstances. And I'll just use myself as an example. When I got diagnosed with leukemia, okay, you know, I could have thought, okay, you know, that's, you know, God, you know, there's, you know, it's one of those 15 drugs. I looked it up. It's one of the 15 diagnoses where I can instantly get disability for or something. You don't have to jump through a lot of hoops. I'm not going to, because I, first of all, you know, I know that I'm going to be healed. I know that I am healed. And the devil, he extends his hand by showing you the circumstance, I guess you could say it that way. You know, I see the circumstance. Okay, I'm anemic or was anemic, and my blood wasn't lining up the way it should. Okay, and then now it's got a name. Well, that name still has to bow to the name of Jesus. So, Lord, what are we going to do about it, you know? But here they're seeing the boat filling up. It's just like when Peter walked on the water, remember? He had enough faith to step out of the boat, but then he looked at the wind and the waves, and then he started to sink. We all tend to look at wind and waves, the circumstances, and then we get our eyes off Jesus, and we start to sink. And Jesus is the one that says, "Hey, keep looking at me. I've got the answer." You know, you can't look at the circumstances. You have to look at God's word. Whenever I read this passage, though, and they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" None of the three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, actually write this in there. I don't know why they didn't write it, because I'm almost positive Jesus spoke something that's not recorded. This is what I believe he spoke. He says, "Who told you you're perishing? Who told you you're perishing?" If he didn't speak it, maybe he thought it, you know. Because I'm always reminded of Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, Man, they had it cushy. You know, they had it going on. They were communing with God physically every day. He'd walk in the garden with them. They had all their needs provided. He says, just don't eat of the fruit of this tree, okay, guys? And they had it made. But then they ate of the tree, and they knew that they were naked, it says. You know, and then they hid from God. The next day when God comes walking through, you know, hey, Adam, Eve, where are you guys? And, you know, he goes, oh, well, we were hiding because we knew that we were naked. And God does ask him in that, who told you you're naked? And so that's why I really believe Jesus said, who told you you're perishing? You know, sure wasn't God. God already told him, we're going to the other side. Why are they questioning what he said to them? You know, and I put it today in everyday language for everybody else. You know, who told you you're perishing? Think about the circumstances in your life going on today. You know, the wind and the waves, the stuff devil's throwing at you. It could be a physical ailment. Well, it could be cancer. It could be something else, you know. Who told you you're perishing? The doctors? Maybe they told you because they don't have the answer. You know, maybe they're only limited to so much. Or maybe they're looking, oh, this is stage four, you know. It's like we can't do nothing or we can't operate because this problem or that problem will happen. You know, or there's not the medication ain't working, you know. You get bad reports each and every day in this world. We live in a fallen world. We're walking around in these dirt bags. You know, they're going back to the dirt, you know. But God's word does not change. God's word is true. He watches over his word to perform it. Who told you that you're perishing? Who told you your kids aren't going to get saved? Who told you that, you know, even though they were raised in church and now they're making bad decisions out there in the world? You know, devil will tell you, oh, they'll never get it right. Or, oh, hey, listen, you know, look at this circumstance or that circumstance. Who told you? My word, my Bible says, my children and my children's children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my household. Some translations say, great shall be the peace of your family. Or you know, that's what his word says. So when you can hold firm to that, no matter what it looks like. My parents, when they were praying for me when I was in college and doing all the wrong things and I'd end up getting arrested and they knew my life was a mess, or they didn't know how far it was and how gone I was with all the drugs, but they knew that I was in trouble. And yet God was calling them to ministry at that time. And my parents were not complaining, but this is what they would tell God. God, how could we leave everything and come serve you when our boys aren't even walking with you yet? And the Lord spoke so clearly to my parents, and he told them, he says, you take care of my children, and I'll take care of yours. And that gave them great peace of knowing that God's got this thing, no matter what it looks like, you know. And I'm always reminded when Jesus sent out the disciples, and, you know, he says, you know, whatever house you enter, call peace upon the house, take no knapsack with you, and no money in your belt and so forth. But it says when he dispatched them, whatever sent them, it says he sent them two by two before his face into every city and town he himself was about to go to. Another portion of scripture when he sent the disciples out, he says he sent them out, and it makes reference that Jesus was going to go to their cities. You know, when you do what God has for you, he'll take care of all the rest of the stuff with your family and stuff. That's why I've never worried. I say I've never worried. You know, if I find myself getting in situations where I'm worrying about a family member or son or you know, just people I care about and love, and, you know, and they're going through hard times, I always have to go back to what does the word say about their situation? You know, who told you that you're not going to be able to pay your mortgage? Who told you that your business is going under? Who told you you're going to lose the farm or your inheritance? Who told you you're going to your marriage isn't going to make it? You know, these are the kind of things the devil have you look at circumstances. But as long as you got breath in your lungs, you've got an opportunity to keep praising him, let him show you what the answer is. You know, God's got a perfect solution to every storm you are going through today, no matter what you're going through today. You know, yeah, doctors can only do so much. They have a lot of wisdom, but there comes a point where you got to just say, okay, what's God's word have to say about my situation? You know, it's like maybe you just, oh, but Lord, I know I'm the one that screwed up here. How come that? And I know this relationship's in turmoil right now because of bad decisions on my part. Okay, well, then ask God, how do we fix this, Lord? What's your word have to say about this? You know, let God restore. Let God provide. Let God heal. you know, but you got to get in line with his word. I was doing a healing service 2 weeks ago in Hayward, Wisconsin. And one of the many stories I shared that particular evening, I had four services over 3 days. And one of those services, I focused just on healing. And I told them ahead of time, we're going to have a healing service. And I shared a story how Corey and I prayed over a young couple that the doctor told, it was at our church actually, we're on the prayer team, and this young couple come up and they're in tears. They said the doctor just told them they cannot have children. They'd been trying, and the doctor says, no, you got something going on, you're not going to be able to have children. And so right away when the wife told me that, I just said, stop. I said, man told you that. God didn't tell you that. Okay, God's word says be fruitful and multiply. We're going to pray for you right now, and God's going to heal whatever's going on. And I don't always prophesy over someone, but I knew I had an exact word from God. I said, 12 months from now, you will be at this altar with a healthy baby. And I spoke that out. 11 months later, she had a healthy baby boy. Do you know she's on her third child due July 28th, of the 8 days after my daughter's due date? And so, you know, it's just, so after this, so in Hayward, as I shared that story amongst many others, a bunch of people came up when I opened up the altar, this young couple come up in tears in their eyes, and they go, we're that couple. I said, well, good, let's see God show off again, you know. And I prayed with them, and that, but that story, just that one story encouraged them greatly, you know. And, you know, God's got this, guys. We tend to freak out over circumstances. You know, there was a time where I'd freak out over big things that happened. I say big things. My motor on my Suburban just blew up on Mother's Day. I was coming back from an EMS conference. I'm 100 miles from town, and the thing just starts acting really rough. It's a motor that I just had put in there 5 years ago. Brand new motor. Chevy dealership put it in there. 65,000 miles on that new motor, but it's only warranted for 3 years. So it's out of warranty, and I had to call a tow truck to take it to my mechanic. My mechanic's a Christian, and he'll do everything he can to help me, you know. And he says, we can put another motor in, but it's going to be, he quoted me a price, and then he called me a half hour later, said, I'll make sure that it's at even this lower price. He says, $8,000 out the door, guaranteed or warranted for 100,000 mile, 3 year. And as of today, and this was Mother's Day, and as of today, I still don't have a definite answer. So I'm just home. I texted him yesterday. He says, hey, any problem leaving it there until I get back in July? I still don't know what direction God wants to do, but Corey and I are just waiting to hear what God wants us to do. Me personally, I like Suburbans, but I don't want to sink a third motor into the same vehicle, even though I just put a brand new transmission in 4 months ago and had the rear end rebuilt just last year. I know what I got with that. It's like a familiar problem. You know, it's like once I've rebuilt everything, it should last me a while, but I'm not worried about vehicles. I'm worried about souls. It's not about vehicles. It's not, you know, there was a time when we were traveling our motorhome. I went through four transmissions, and they never broke down in the most convenient places. You know, we were living in that vehicle. And but you know what? I don't freak out over stuff anymore. I get a health diagnosis, so what? You know what? God already knows about it, you know? And I'm going to stand strong for him. And I know if you're that some of you are going through storms, because everybody does. But John and I were talking about the simplicity of the gospel just the other day. And, you know, I am so convinced, you know, that it's just, we got to keep it real simple. Love people and love God. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 22. Remember when the Pharisees and Sadducees, or today's wouldn't sees and couldn't sees, all the religious people, you know, they didn't know what to do with Jesus, you know, because everyone's following them, and so their offerings in their synagogue were going down. I don't know what, something was happening, you know. But they got a lawyer, and they had sent a lawyer to ask Jesus, what's the one great commandment? Knowing darn well that what the answer was, and Jesus gave them the answer they were looking for. You know, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the one and great commandment. And that's what they wanted to hear, because then they would have said, well, we already do that. We don't need you, Jesus. We're just going to go off and do our own thing. See, we got these big, beautiful buildings, so of course we love God, you know. But Jesus immediately, without them being asking him two questions, he says, and the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, they didn't ask him what's the two great commandments. They asked what's the one great commandment. But Jesus said, love people too, you know. He's paraphrasing, but he says, you know, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So everything you read from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to the end of the 22nd chapter of Revelation is all summed up in loving God and loving people. Doesn't matter how many songs or what kind of songs you play. Doesn't matter how many programs you have. I mean, VBS is great because you guys love on these kids of your community. That's amazing. I mean, I think that's one of the greatest things because Jesus said, suffer not the children to come unto me. You know, keep loving the kids, but keep loving the adults out there, especially the unlovable ones. You know, there's a lot of people. The people that irritate you the most are the ones you're probably supposed to be loving the most. I've learned through the things I've gone through to extend more grace. It seems like the recurring thing. God says, extend more grace to people. You know, so I'm really doing my best, you know, with his help to just extend grace and love people and serve people and meet their needs and do whatever I can to help someone out of a situation. Be quick to pray for people. You know, don't just say, I'll pray for you, but take care of that matter right then and there. You know, and give till it hurts. I mean, it's for people. You know, I would rather get to heaven and have God say, Bob, I've got two things against you. You gave way too much down there and you served way too much. Yeah, he ain't ever going to say that. You know, all these err are be cautious about that. Just keep giving, keep serving. And I'm going to keep doing that to the people around me. That's why I'm so excited about when he sends me on a trip, because like, let's see who's around the next corner. Who are you going to put in my path today, Lord? And he never disappoints. He never disappoints. I'm going to first ask, because there are some people in here I don't know, but if you have not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if you have never said, Jesus, I choose today to ask you to be Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I want you to be Lord of my life. If you have not done that, you need to do that. It's not baptism. It's not First Communion. It's not confirmation. It's you as an adult making a decision that, yes, I need help. I need Jesus as Lord of my life. And if you're in here today, you're in a great spot and a great opportunity, because you're in a room, if you look around, with people who know you and love you. It's a very safe place to be in. And if you have not been walking with the Lord and you need to, just lift your hand. We'll take care of that matter right now, and I'll be happy to lead you through a simple little prayer. Anybody? All right, I'll take that to mean that every person in here is saved. Now, the exciting part, whatever storms you've been going through that's been causing you to lose sleep, causing you to walk in pain, causing you to walk in fear, doubt, unbelief, concern for your children and work life and maybe where your next meal coming from, or where are you going to be living, what decisions do you need to make about your businesses? You should be at the altar right now. I'm opening up the altar right now for anyone that wants prayer, because I want to set my faith in agreement with you. So come on up, those of you that want prayer. And as you do that, I'm going to hand the mic back to John. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare great peace for each person here, Lord, as they go forth throughout their week, Lord, that you just reveal that good and precious plan this week of what you have for each one of them, Lord. Establish the things that need to be established. Take out the distractions. And, Lord, let them trust your word and stir up the word, that even if it's words that have been spoken that were unfulfilled visions in their life from years ago, Lord, that may have been simmering on the back burner, bring them to the forefront of their minds and hearts, Lord, and just reveal to them what the next step is, Lord. Establish them in all the ministries that they've been called to, because we're all your ambassadors. You've called us all to make a difference in this world, just spreading your beautiful gospel and loving people and loving you.
Amen. Well, thank you. I want to tell you, thank you for standing. I know I just asked you to stand so we'd be in agreement, but the Spirit of God just was ministering to me as others came forward, and it's not always in our nature to ask for prayer. It's not always in our nature to declare our battles. But sometimes just by all of us standing, I think it helped some people just not have to stand and be the only one being noticed. And I'm just saying that to say this. When you're witnessing to people and ministering to them, don't think it's wrong to make it as easy as you can for them. To make it sweet, to make it relaxed, to make it take the fears away. And on the other side, I want to just say good news. My back is a lot better. I survived this week with VBS. I still struggle. Again, my vehicle, it doesn't like it. Doesn't like it when I sit on my Indian right now. But I did go out in the yard the other day, and I had some steel posts I needed to drive, and Some of you guys that have been on the farm, no, you just go, oh. And lo and behold, I drove steel posts and it felt the best all week, that I felt all week. So I guess I got to go sign up for a fencing crew to get my healing. So God's good. Father, we want to thank you today. Thank you. Bless Bob on their trip as they go. I thank you, Father. You already have it all lined out. Bob's going to have another 100,000 stories to tell. Thank you the way that you've called him. But we also declare that you called him, you anointed him, and that's what he does. And you called us and anointed us, and that's what we do. And I release us all just to go and be led by the Spirit of God and going about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. We are the anointed ones, and we boldly go where you tell us to go. You know, Father, you said, as this word came to us today, it confirms the word that you gave to our little body that said, I'll take care of the building, you take care of the people, and we thank you that you're taking care of the building, and we worship you. It's all about people. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week.